Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
Hey, Rosh, happy to be here. Happy to be seen. For those of you who are just listening, we do have a YouTube show. If anyone wants to pop over there, they get to see what I looked like when I was 12, as I have fully shaved today and haven't shown this much of my face in some time. So added bonus, if you head on over to the YouTube channel, you get to see that. So, but yeah, talking today, I'm talking about Firefly in Photoshop, which is one of the premier image generation software, AI softwares.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to talk about AI training and transparency to your team.
Okay.
And, you know, if you've got teams of creatives, you know, what you're doing to train them, what kind of transparency you're requiring. And then lastly, I want to talk a little bit about Sora. Is it ready to go yet? I don't know. I don't think so. What do you have?
Okay. AI, will it eventually just fade away? And I'll dig into more of that idea. And should you still learn how to code? A question that...
That is a great question.
Yeah. You know, Google laying people... I guess the rumors they laid off their entire Python group in our... Yeah. And, you know, going outsourcing a little bit. But anyway, should we learn how? Because obviously we know where a lot of this is going. So I have what I feel is a good answer to that.
Cool. I'm excited for that because that's one of those ones that it feels like a little bit of a doomed industry. So we'll see. But it's all about, you know, there's a lot of, you know, information that goes into coding that you need to know again or ask the right questions. So cool. Looking forward to that. Hopping right into it, what's up there is one of the premier image generating softwares that a lot of times doesn't get talked about as much as, say DALL-E and some of the other ones, is Firefly. And that is Photoshop, Adobe's proprietary image creation. And we're right now on the heels of Firefly 3 being released. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen in videos and tutorials and what I've learned about it, it's a pretty big deal. So the advantages, well, first of all, chances are everybody listening to this show has seen an image created by Firefly. There's been, since it's been invented, there's been over 7 billion images created by Firefly.
Wow.
Your top level, your kind of what I say your elite level of graphic designers are still in the Adobe world, as they should be.
Right.
And, you know, Canva has taken up, as we know, Canva's been a powerhouse in the graphic design world. And I always say the good to better graphic designers are living on Canva and doing good. And there's still some great ones. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trashing Canva. But if you're still that purist and you're on Adobe, you're in Photoshop, you have access to some really high level tools. And with that comes, in my opinion, the highest level of sophistication of this AI image generation software, you know, where you can get it to generate something based on your prompt, just like usual. And you've said, you know, a ton of times, Rosh, you're garbage in, garbage out, give it all your descriptors that you want. But some of its next level finite abilities to, you know, put a square in the bottom of the screen and say, all right, now I want it to be looking like it's floating on a river instead of it being here. And then it, you know, meshes it perfectly and you do that. And then in the top right, you want it to eliminate something. So you circle it and then write in what you want. And, you know, being able to grab just pieces of the image, circling them, square, whatever size you want to put around it, and then having an additional prompt box come up and be like, what do you want to have over here?
Right.
Is really cool. And what this does is it allows the artists to be artists again at a really high level, because all artists, in my opinion, what separates them from the normal people is their ability to have a vision in their head.
Right.
Of, you know, no artist looks at a blank canvas and just starts touching the canvas without having a vision at the end of the day of what they want that art to be.
Mm-hmm.
And these tools, they still allow artists to be artists. You're not going to think of the right question to ask to modify or doctor this image in the right way unless you have that artistic brain. And you know, another side thought I had about the good things about AI, and of course this isn't as true with computers when we're here just on mouse and keyboard and stuff, but some artists lack the physical ability to create art to the ability that they can create it in their own head.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they can't maneuver the mouse as well, or, you know, I'm talking physical medium, you know, to create art that way. And this technology, what it can do is kind of give, you know, and, you know, voice to the voiceless, if you will. It can let the artistic minded individual who may have lost their physical ability to create art years ago, allows them to maybe retap that portion of their brain. And it's a very interesting prospect to me. And it's, to me, a way where we're no longer having, you know, AI art as just being a ripoff and people yeah. being mad at it because it's AI art. That's not real art. You know, put your foot in the sand. And now we're letting the artist take this tool and run with it. You know, I look at it from, you know, you Michael Schumacher was in a Ford Focus before, and now we're giving him a Ferrari. He's going to, you know, make that thing do better things. So it's right. that same kind of deal where this technology is getting there and it's just enhancing the creativity and the ability. So, and one last note I wanted to make yeah. about Firefly before moving on. You know, one of the issues I've had with, say, DALL-E is I upload an image and I'm like, hey, create something like this,
yeah.
but do this and that. And it's like it's starting from scratch again. Whereas yeah. this has what they call structure reference, meaning you can upload that image and say, hey, I just want the text changed. I want everything else to remain the same.
Right, right.
And that's one of the big advantages. And one of the reasons I want to talk about it that I thought was pretty cool, because, you know, we're talking about, you know, doing not really a rebrand in terms of the name of the show, but also incorporating, you know, AI into the logo and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, DALL-E's got some limitations to what yeah. we can do and different things. So, hey, this is the direction that we're going to maybe scratch the surface of and see if we can come up with something pretty creative, pretty cool. Yeah. You know, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I have played with Firefly a little bit. I have it. I have not played with it that much. We talked about last week how it's being incorporated into Premiere Pro, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool, along with Sora. And I think for the most part, it's a great, I think I should be in there playing with it a little bit more, just based on what you've said alone, to see what I can do with it. Because you're right. I mean, the art is really about the decisions you make. And it doesn't mean every decision is a good decision. It doesn't mean every bit of art is good art, but an artist made decisions along the way, good and bad decisions. And this allows you to just really step up and do things that maybe you would not have been able to do before, because creating something new is a combination of multiple things, or a combination of things creates something new. And so now when you can start combining new ideas and concepts and tools, you can take it to another level, which will be almost standard. And again, as we've mentioned before, not everybody's going to want to take the time to do all that or to learn how to approach Firefly. So there will be professionals who do that and are able to work well with Firefly and their Firefly pros. So, I mean, I think that's going to be really cool. And there's going to be a lot of tools like that.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. So it's exciting. I'm excited to see, you know, just how user-friendly it might make it, because I think Photoshop, to me, being a good graphic artist, not a great one, something that's maybe a little intimidating. So maybe it'll you know, help in that regard. So very good. So, all right, you're saying is AI dead, which is very perplexing, but maybe I think I know.
Oh, no, I said, will AI fade away from
you? Oh, will fade, okay. Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I kind of was leading us down a road here. And mm-hmm. and the answer is yes, because it'll just be kind of going back to our conversation last week, integrated into our lives. Right. Just like we talked about Sora in Firefly in Premiere Pro, it's part of the package. It'll just be part of our lives. We will just answer the questions. When we say, you know, Alexa or hey Google, won't be okay. How slow do I need to talk? You know, it won't be, is it going to understand me? It's just going to be. And we actually did that this weekend in a way. We pulled out ChatGPT with friends, and we had some questions. We're outside, we're enjoying the sun, and there's a few bees around, and we had questions about honeybees. And so we just turned it on with the audio and just ask questions, and they asked questions, and it answered, and, you know, with vocally, and then we asked more questions. It is really cool, and that's going to become more and more common. Obviously, that's through my phone, but it's going to be everywhere, and AI will just be part. And this is what it's going to be, expected.
Yes.
AI is going to be expected in everything. And as we've said when we started, AI is going to be in your toaster, and that's not a joke.
And you know, the equivalent of this is like watching my toddler go up to a real TV and touch it and expect the touchscreen to work.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we're just going to expect things to be smart at that level because that's what we're used to and that's the technology. So we're no longer going to call it AI. It's going to be what our computers and our phones do. This is just the new way that they think and they connect the dots.
Right.
So yeah, the newness of the idea of this way of computing and thinking is what's going to fade. So I see what you mean by, the topic of it's going to go away.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So we better start thinking about our next podcast subject now. That's good. So, speaking, AI, a lot of, we're talking to the creative entrepreneur here, of course.
Yeah.
And a lot of entrepreneurs are not sole entrepreneurs. They have a team. We're fortunate enough here, Great Scott Social Media. I know you, on your side have been able to grow a team of creative. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you're leading a team, there's a regulation of that team and how they get the work done. And it's one of the conversations that we need to start having as creatives or as, entrepreneurs that are running a team of people is exactly what kind of AI transparency you're going to require from your team.
Mm-hmm.
So, think about this. Put on your school teacher's shoes here. And, you're like, how are you going to police this whole, classroom here and to make sure that they're learning and doing the right things? But, at the end of the day, I'm not, a teacher to my employees. I'm there so my employees produce an output of what it is that, we need. So, of course, I'm going to encourage them to use all the tools available to be as efficient as possible.
Right.
But I'm going to make sure that I talk to them first about how, why, when, and where they can and can't use this. Mm-hmm. Luckily, in our industry here, we've got pretty carte blanche that we can kind of use it across the anything that we need to. But, a lot of other people that might be dealing with proprietary information or, maybe they just have personal qualms against AI that they're like, heck no, I'm not using that in my business. I'm not letting the robots take over this company. And, maybe we're trying to plead with you to, change your mindset there that, this isn't the unknown, devil in the corner of the room. This is, a tool that can be used to help further your business, your creative output, maybe your team's efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
I know my writers, the time that it's taken to get content calendars done since that we've been encouraging this use has gone down a good amount. And the way, the ways in which we can speak our clients' language has gone up. So, we've seen a dramatic increase in efficiency. So, but with that came an encouraging of using this technology and it came a training session. Mm-hmm. So, some of the things that, I've been fortunate enough to be an early adopter, thanks to you, of this technology and the tricks and stuff that I've learned in the groups and stuff, we made sure to hold a training session as, Great Scott, and like, hey, this is our preferred method. This is the way we use it. This yields results, but you can use it however you want to. It's your technology to use, but we encourage you to do this to make your job better. But I'm not just going to accept a copy paste output from it. I need to make sure that we're reading and that we're going in between the lines and that we're making sure that we're making sense and that we're not relying on it, as a crutch, but more using it as a ladder to get to a higher height.
Right. So right.
That's, kind of a good way to put it.
Yeah, no, very good. I mean, I think it's important to have that discussion. We've talked about that. You've brought this up a few times in different ways, talking to your clients about how mm-hmm. you use AI. You should also be talking to your team about it and just sitting down thinking about what is the best way and what are your limitations, barriers, what is appropriate for your industry and your company to make the rules. Or you just by yourself as an artist, how far will you go? What tools will you use as Adobe, as you mentioned, continues to integrate all these tools into what we use every day as creatives? Where are you going to go? Are you just going to say no? You have, I want to get rid of all this and change it to that. Are you just going to say no because it's AI doing it? So these are the things you need to consider.
I've heard that from people my age where they're just like, nope, not going to adopt it, not going to do it. But then, you ask them, they've got an AOL email. They've got, not bashing any AOL emails out there, but you know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's the reason we do this show is to push that resistance to change. And, we've realized this great tool. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why stop doing what you love to do? And this kind of blends into the next conversation that I have as it relates, you know, should you still learn how to code?
Right.
And that brings me back to a topic I've shared before, the turn of the century with digital photography. And look, a lot of people can create really nice images and know how to use filters, but they have no idea what an aperture is. They have no idea how shutter speed affects their imagery. They don't understand the basics of photography. And the same goes with coding. Yes, you should learn how to code if you're going to make code a part of your life. Not everybody wants to do that. There are drag and drop systems to create applications and websites and all that, but understanding how to maybe solve a problem or to be able to better interact, to ask exactly what you want to the AI, because there is going to be communication. It is still communication, and good communication is going to produce better results, just like working with a person. If you cannot communicate with another person or your team, as you know, if you can't communicate well with your team, they're not going to produce what you're looking for. And the same thing is going to go with the AI partner that you have, whether assistant or in helping you create. So understanding how to code is going to be important if you wish to create things that, say, right now may require code. Just like right. The people who decided, and to your point, decided to quit photography because they didn't want to learn this digital thing. Mm-hmm. And eventually some of them came back and said, okay, I had to do it. But some really did quit and stayed out and stopped doing what they love to do just out of pure stubbornness.
So. Right, just because they didn't want to change. And, you know, that's just the big thing is you see it over and over again with every technological revolution is you've got your adapters and you've got your, you know, heels in the sand people. And,
The only constant is change. There's always change, and the most miserable people are the ones who don't want things to change. But that, in all sincerity, goes against the natural order of everything.
Right.
You're trying to stop the universe from moving forward. It's going to not go in your favor.
I mean, but, you know, to your point here about learning how to code, maybe, you know, they'll be just more kind of big picture coders where it's like, you know, they're looking more at the finish line and some of the actual, you know, the hard lifting work that used to be armies of people and coders and teams. Maybe that's where that's going to change a bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I learned to code because there are things that I want to create, but I work with the AIs regularly to create things that would have taken me weeks to create in a matter of minutes. But being able to read the code, I'm able to say, oh, let's make this adjustment here or that adjustment there, or, you know, how to do the basic things. Or if something's not working, oh, the AI forgot to put this in. The AI didn't do that. And I can read it and I can see it. And it's almost like, you know, learning how to, read another language, just in general. You know.
That was the point I was just going to make is like, say, taking a social media post that we write and having the AI write it in another language.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm trusting the AI that it formatted it correctly and stuff. But, you know, if it was a Spanish language and it didn't put an upside down question mark in the beginning of the sentence and another, you know, one on the other side, we're going to look at that and be like, well, this guy doesn't know, you know, this language. And you can tell that there's that little bit of a separation. So, you still need to have that base level knowledge if you needed to do what you need to do. That's a good point.
Very good point. You had one more thing?
Yeah. We just got our eyes on, you know, the latest technology and what's going on. And I'll say now, because it's the Japanese word for sky, I got my eyes on the sky or the Sora, if you will. it's one of the most common questions I get when people, you know, say, you know, find out that I dabble in the world of AI. They're like, when is this Sora coming out and ready to go to the public? So it's not ready yet. It is the OpenAI. And, you know, for those who don't know, Sora is the OpenAI text to video prompt that kind of blew away the world here a couple months ago with some of the outputs that it's gotten. It's still in small testing phases. So there's some academics, so some universities have access to it. All Sora videos will be watermarked. So that's one of the big things that, you know, is kind of a big deal. You know, there are a couple competitors like Runaway or Pika or Lumineer that are out there. But, you know, just Sora really appears to be the one who's getting it right and looking really, really good. But, you know, I just keep hearing later this year. And I wanted to bring it up just in case. Maybe did you hear something different? Have you heard any?
I've not heard anything any different than that. It's, you know, there are, I will say this though, that the competitors are nipping at their heels though. And the AIs are getting so much better so quickly. It's kind of like old software when it was a big deal, when there was an upgrade in software and everybody couldn't wait. I mean, I've had two or three updates in Photoshop, didn't care so much, you know, compared to maybe 10, 15 years ago where each one offered another level of something. And so it's not going to be as big of a deal because everybody's going to be pretty smooth. But you know, there are little things that are improving. So going to some of my thoughts on what's happening with ChatGPT, GPT Turbo, 4 Turbo, you know, little things like, one, it sees. Well, you and I know that. You were using this the other day. We're talking about this, and I dug into this because I was wondering, okay, we already know that. Then I found out, when I dug in a little deeper, I realized, yes, but they're now allowing the API to access that endpoint to allow you to bring that visual element to your app. Hmm. And that is going to lead to a lot of really interesting apps now, where examples where you can look at something and it can give you some basic information. Maybe it could estimate the cost of something, or you know, how many calories are on that plate of food, or you know, what do you need for this? You can just use the visual elements in your app that specializes in some specific information or philosophy. So that's pretty cool. So that clarified that for me, because we've been back and forth a few times. We're a little confused to what that was about. But it also adds better writing and math and better coding. And I have noticed the coding. In the beginning, I was actually kind of upset because I remember when I was coding with 3.5, it wasn't updating some basic information, but it now is. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to re-put that in there. But no, now it's playing along and updating. And it's been pretty good coding based on what I have seen. But my coding is not such high level that I'm going to notice a huge difference, because honestly, the older versions probably could code what I'm trying to code at my level. And the system, it also allows the system to remember older conversations. Mm. And so that's nice that you can't, that was a big one that allows you to, you know, before it was just, okay, here's your chat and it remembers what you said up higher in earlier in the chat. Now it remembers, you know, a few things you talked about yesterday that can be relevant. So that's important, and a really important part of the growth and the development expansion of the chats.
Now, I see the next natural step in progression. I mean, I know we've heard about, you know, Google Glasses for some time, where you're looking through, as you see things in real time, the information pops up. But sounds like a lot of that same kind of, like, there might be a GPT Glasses coming out at some point where you're able to
get that very well could. I would see Facebook going there first, because their Quest or even Apple, excuse me, their goggles, those have been really solid. Being able to just place things in the room, and when you walk in the room, it's still there, and you can, you know, watch this over here, do that. It's amazing. It's expensive, but that kind of stuff is going to happen. And as we're talking about earlier, it's just all going to integrate into our lives.
Precisely. Well, for the latest updates and, you know, what's going on in the world of AI, and for the information for the creative entrepreneur, please, you know, like, follow, subscribe, you know, and if you want to send us an email, hop on over to the creativeentrepreneurshow.com. Send us a message. Give us a topic, something we'd like to talk about. Or if you want to be a guest, give us an email. We're going to have some guests coming up. Actually, got a really good one that emailed a couple days ago. We'll reach out to.
Very good. All right. Thanks so much, Brian. We'll talk to everyone next week.